Welcome to the Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine Ingram, and we are the co-founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
The purpose of our ministry is to encourage people to get out with God so that they can heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord. Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 18 in our journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. And before we get started, we invite you to look in the description area for two of the items that we have there in our companion download. One of them is the calendar, the Lenten calendar for the entire time that we are observing Lent with you. And there are links in that calendar to all the scriptures that we are discussing. The second is a study guide and dives deeper into the topics that we discuss each day. And that's available for your download as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, honey, do you want to read today's scripture? I know it's a long one.
It is.
And I know it's one from one of your favorite books.
Romans, yes. Sure, I'd be happy to read it. We are discussing today Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read all the way from verse 12 through 21. So bear with me. We're reading from the NIV version. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
An apostle said, Paul said, mic drop.
Yeah, mic drop. So we have just covered Adam and Eve through the cross.
In how many verses?
And beyond.
Exactly.
And we're really all the way to the present day. So it's a very complex passage.
Well, and
with
the way
a
the
lot
Apostle
of,
Paul writes is very poetic, very earth.
Yeah, it's very detailed and very cranial, because Paul was a law student. Pretty much, he was being schooled and trained and brought up to be the next head Pharisee. He was being taught by Gamaliel, who was the most revered Pharisee in all of Judaism at that time, and he was training Paul to replace him. So you want to talk about a Jewish zealot for the law.
Well, and it's funny, when I first read this, I thought, oh, well, how did Eve get away with this? Poor Adam. And so I know we had that discussion about, well, she was deceived by the enemy. Mm-hmm. But then you shared with me, which is not really clear in here. I mean, it's not.
Not in this passage, but there are very many other places where it's referred to.
To share with what you shared.
Yeah, there's a typology in the scripture that both in the New and the Old, well, I mean, it's in the New Testament, but it's referring to the old Adam, the original Adam. And you've probably heard that Jesus is referred to as the last Adam. Mm. And the reason that they're making that association is because Adam's sin, notice it's Adam's sin, is called out, was then rectified by the second Adam or the last Adam. But what's interesting is in that parallel, there's a scripture that talks about how the woman, Eve, who partook of the fruit first and then gave it to Adam, she's not credited with the sin. Why is that? Because she was deceived by the enemy. Mm. So in that sense, there's some mercy given to her. But it says very clearly, the woman was deceived, but Adam was not. And you think, wait a minute. The Sunday school version says that Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent. But when you read the story, you'll notice, and I think probably some of you are going to go back and reread that now. Eve took the fruit because the enemy was tempting her. She partook and then gave it to Adam to eat with her. So in one sense, Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what had happened. And he knew that she was lost. And he, in the typology of equating Adam with Jesus, you find this concept that Adam loved Eve so much that he didn't want to go on without her. So knowingly, he took the fruit and ate it because he knew that he couldn't live forever without Eve, his beautiful wife.
Discernment, ladies, discernment.
Yes.
Watch who you pay attention to and watch out for that enemy. And, you know, your husband gave you his rib, so be kind. Don't give him an apple they're not supposed to eat.
Yes, don't give him the forbidden fruit. But it's a really cool analogy, and it opens up a lot to understanding the sacrifice of Jesus, because in that same sense, Jesus and the Father loved us so much that they didn't want to go on without us. They wanted to redeem us and to not have to do eternity without us. Mm-hmm. So that's a really cool analogy when you stop and think about it. And, you know, Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to join us in order to save us.
Love it.
And here's the second part of the analogy. Because Adam did that out of love for Eve, then God, therefore, was motivated and honored that love by sending Jesus to save all of mankind from the problems.
Mm, and break that curse.
And to break the curse. And that's exactly what he did with Jesus as well. Another kind of interesting point, and I think this is worthy of being talked about, is something that's commonly taught in churches, is that it's your sins, plural, that cause you to go to hell. And that's technically not true. Why do you sin?
Because we're cursed.
You sin, present tense, because you were born a sinner.
So it's like you're in your DNA, so to speak.
It is. It's been passed down. The curse of sin has been passed down since Adam. And we're all
broke that chain in the DNA.
In the natural world, we're all born into that.
Sure.
And there's nothing that we can do about it. Yes, we can change our behaviors. We can not sin, quote unquote. But then there's that, here's an interesting question that I want you to really think about this. If you were to live your entire life and never sin one time, would you go to heaven? Would you be entitled to go to heaven or not? I mean, we know it's not possible for anyone other than Jesus to do that. But hypothetically, in your mind, the way you think about sin, if you were to be able to live your life perfectly, would you go to heaven or not? The answer is, according to Scripture, is no.
Only through Jesus.
Right. Because whether you actively commit any sins in your life doesn't eliminate the original problem that you have sin. You're in under the curse of sin from the moment that you're born.
You don't hear that in those four walls and under that steeple.
You don't.
A lot of times. I'm not saying every time.
Well, and...
But a lot of times it's like, here's your cliff notes. Like, here's the cliff notes of what you need to know. And they don't dive that deep into it or dissect it as much. I haven't heard the things that I've heard in the past several years of us being together.
Oh, I know. And those were truths that I never heard either in the churches that I went to growing up. It was always presented that it's your sins, plural and present tense, that separate you from God.
And you need to do something for it.
And you need to do something. You need to do penance to restore that relationship with God, and so that God can bless you, and so that God will fellowship with you, and that He withdraws His presence from you when you have active sin in your life. And all of those things are absolutely unbiblical. Does that give us a license to sin? No. We need to understand that sin is anything that we do that is contrary to God's nature. So in the scope of the Ten Commandments, the moral law, all of those things are God's nature. If we lie, guess what? That's a sin. But do you know what else is a sin? Not believing God. Mm-hmm. Having unbelief. Not loving your brother in the same way that God loves you. How about getting frustrated at your spouse or mate and not treating them with love? Guess what? That's a sin. So, I mean, we know it's impossible not to live a life and not commit a sin. We were born fallen creatures. But what we need to understand is that God has taken care of the sin problem, and that there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God. Now, for those who believe and trust in Jesus, tetelestai. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because it was all finished. It was done.
It was done.
And God loves us anyway. That's not a license to just go out and live how you want. Because then you're living as an affront to the sacrifice that Jesus paid to redeem you.
Well, and I want to make God smile.
Absolutely.
And make Him happy. Not that I'm trying to win more of His love, but for everything that He's done for us. Mm-hmm. I want to be in between the bumpers on the bowling alley, like, so to speak. I want to stay in the lane and just be grateful.
Just like a young child wants to please their dad. You know, when you truly understand the grace that God has given us, you want Him to be happy. You want to please Him. Mm-hmm. And what does the scripture say? It's impossible to please him, or without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm. We need to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and set our eyes on him and just focus on that. And I guarantee you, if you start receiving the love of God, all of the Ten Commandments are based on love. If you look at them and look at them from their perspective of love, when you start loving people like God loves them, you'll fulfill all those Ten Commandments without even thinking about it.
But
you don't.
You don't have to.
You don't do that from a law standpoint.
To get more
you
of
do
his
it.
Love.
You do it because you love God and he loves people through you in his kind of love. Boy, we went off on some tangents there, and it's there's so much more in that passage. Romans is a book that is just absolutely chock full of stuff.
Mic drop. We might have to do a whole study on Romans.
Oh, well, if we have a year to try and pull it all out. How about we just cut it off here? And you pray us out, baby.
Okay. We'd love to. Dear Father, we just come to you today with so much thanks for everything that you've done for us to break that curse. That curse that we have within us. That sin that we do because it is in our genetics, in our DNA. It came from that original sin. You loved us so much that you gave your only son at the cross so that he could be our atonement for that sin, so that you could break that sin so that it's no longer passed down generation to generation. Yes, we are sinners, but we are forgiven. We are healed. We are whole because of the cross. We can leave everything at the cross. You love us unconditionally, no matter what we do. You know what we're going to do. You know that we have that sin within us, and you still love us. We just ask that you continue to guide us and direct us so that we can please you, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to love you first and foremost. We want to love our fellow brothers and sisters. We want to love them as you have loved us. We want to live our days in the Spirit and not in those fleshly ways that it's so easy to do in the ways of the world. We get that heavy weight on us. We get that anxiety. We get that stress. We get that noise. And it causes us to do things that are not so loving. So we just ask that you, as you always do, gently redirect us, pull us back in, spend time with us, talk to us, and just love on us the way that you do. We ask all these things in your precious name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Good stuff.
God is good.
Always.
How about we sign off by blessing him with some perfect peace?
Shalom. Until next time, we love you.
See you then.